Okay, welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, 3 o'clock, general discussion. Today is Thursday, June 2nd, 2016, and we have the full board present. We have Julie Schmelzer, our Community Development and Planning Director, and we have Ron Goss from the SBDC and Kenny Hout from the IBCDO. And, well, hello.
Hi.
Would you like to come to the table, too? There's one more chair.
Yes, sir.
Since we have one topic today, we might have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And we just had Arthur O'Hare come in. You've met Julie? This is Julie Schmelzer.
Nice to see you.
Arthur O'Hare. He's our finance director, so he's our person that holds the purse strings. And he's the one that you get all those statements about the economic development from. That's where you get those.
Okay.
Okay. All right. First and only thing on our agenda is the update from the SBDC and the IBCDO. And so, proceed, gentlemen.
Okay. So, first thing, which I'll just go through real quick, is, and I think you've seen some of this. I know a couple of you have either seen it through a public service announcement or whatever, but that's just a review of the SBDC's performance in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the highlights of that are mainly in those first four bullet points at the top. If on each one of those bullet points over on the right-hand edge, if you see what's there in parentheses, that's what our metrics looked like last year in 2015. This is a calendar year basis, not a fiscal year basis. So in 2015, we were involved with the creation of 97.5 jobs. That's an increase over 79 jobs last year. We were ranked third in the state in terms of the 19 centers that are part of the Oregon Small Business Development Network. We ranked fourth in capital formation, and we were just about at the same level we were last year at $3.3 million. We also ranked second in terms of business starts, and we were involved with, in the Josephine County area, 23 new business starts, and that exceeded our performance from last year where we only had 20. And we were also able to get our advising hours back up from 1735 up to just over 2,000 advising hours, and we handled about 381 individual business owners and managers. The other thing I always usually try to emphasize, too, just because it's important to the community, the second bullet point in the bottom, we had 74 events last year with about 500 attendees. This year, in terms of training services, we conducted 100 individual training events and had almost 600 attendees. And the rest of it, I'll just kind of leave to you guys in terms of what you'd like to read or cover if you have any questions regarding this information.
And on here, and noting that the FBLA program, which is the Future Business Leaders, they're going to the, 16th competition this year to see if they can get their 16th straight title.
Yeah.
They do a fabulous job, so it's going to be a good group to work with.
Yeah, and I think Chris is now kind of like the coordinator for all the programs here in Josephine County, and we've been actually coordinating with him and Danielle Bivens out of RCC, who's the head of the STEM and high school outreach programs. We're going to actually do a couple workshops this summer for high school students to introduce them to how to start a business and entrepreneurial type of skills, even do kind of like a Shark Tank sort of thing where they have to work together in groups to develop a business idea and then make a pitch at the end. So we've had a lot of fun doing that with high school students to get them really interested in that. The other thing I will just pass out from an informational standpoint, and I know you have to share this with you, this is the overall state contribution of the small business networks in the state. So that's more just a general informational sort of thing. No problem. That's just the aggregate of the efforts of the 19 centers in the state. And like I said, we ended up ranking in the top five, at least in terms of the three major metrics that we usually track, which is jobs creation and access to capital and business sites. So the other piece that I wanted to share with you guys, and sorry, it's just, I shouldn't say sorry, our involvement with the county just continues to be ever-growing, and I want to make sure that today on the record that I say I'm very pleased, and I hope you are as well, with how the relationship between the SBDC and the IBCDO with the county as a partnership working together to really help businesses and economic development in the county. I think it's become a very close and a very successful relationship, and I think we're starting to see real tangible benefits. I mean, physical businesses that are in place that wouldn't be operational today other than for the partnership that we've built with the county. So I just wanted to kind of get that on the record.
Thank you.
My perspective. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm going to have Kenny handle is we also want to share with you the report here on the loan fund that the county has been contributing to. And so I'll let Kenny kind of give you an overview of that real quick.
Overview. Well, so this is more, but this, you know, this bundle is fiscal year. So going from the last June up through May, these are the loans that have come out of the revolving loan fund. And I know on some of the, we collapse it down a little bit, but I do like to, because these women-owned ethnicity, whether it's veterans or seniors, is some of the things the USDA always is wanting to track. And since the bulk of the loan fund was from USDA rural development grants, it's interesting to me as well, because seniors, we've got two of these nine loans to seniors, including a guy in his 70s who's still doing log truck driving.
So I didn't go to his school.
So with the amounts and then the locations throughout the county, and then the kind of type of business, and then traded sector, and then the job creation associated or retention. And we'll have at least one more loan go out this month, maybe two. So that'll cap out the fiscal year 15 to 16.
And we're working on two new ones.
And there's two new ones that,
one with a local media company and one with a munitions or ammo manufacturer here in the county.
Yeah.
So certainly is varied. Varied, and the impact from a traded sector standpoint is interesting to see as well. So we're getting a broad range of companies that are interested in this, and it's a very attractive program. And in most cases, their only options would be personal credit cards or some kind of very high interest loan arrangement. Mm-hmm. Because they're, I can say, and Kenny and I discussed this the other day, pretty much anybody that's on this list wouldn't have went to a bank and got a loan. Mm-hmm. So these are the loans that we're supporting, and they're very important loans in a lot of cases to give people opportunities that with the current banking regulations and how things have changed since 2008-2009, a lot of opportunities for these individuals just aren't there, at least within the normal banking industry.
I think that's a negative thing, because if I saw a bunch of stuff that was taking away from the private sector banking, that's not what I want to see on a list.
No, we're not trying to compete with that.
No.
These are people that wouldn't have been able to get along.
It's really, it's the gap funding. It's a big hole. I mean, at this point, banks, even if you qualify, they don't want to do a loan less than $100,000. It just doesn't pencil for them in terms of their staff time and their overhead and operations. And much as is true of SoReady too, they prefer the larger packages deals. And so that this still leaves all of the majority of our small businesses kind of out in the cold.
Well, the interesting thing, too, just to re-emphasize what you're saying, Simon, we have, like, People's Bank, Evergreen Bank, Umpqua Bank, actually sending people to us to explore their options with IDC or revolving loan fund. So they don't see us as competition. They see us as an alternative that they can offer their customers. And I had a conversation with Patty Baker just the other day, and she said, you know, hey, if you guys can give them the money, and they can then grow and become a viable customer for a bank, it's just a win-win for us.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a report on a fiscal year. I made a note in the proposed agreement that it's fiscal year, but the other report was on the calendar year. So I just, is it more convenient on a fiscal year reporting basis, or is it what's sometimes the logical thing is not our fiscal year.
Right.
Because it doesn't coincide with anything. It doesn't coincide with the federal fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, what are you doing? It doesn't do with taxes. The calendar year sometimes is a real challenge, I think, because December is a tough time to try to get anybody to sit down for 5 minutes and listen to an end-of-the-year report when we already have a ton to listen to anyway. So I don't know. I'm happy with the fiscal year, but it should... We should take this opportunity to say, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, in terms of looking at the draft agreement on the fund, ED funds to go into the revolving loan fund, you know, right now it's set up as a fiscal year report.
Yeah.
So you can roll with it either way.
Okay.
You know, because we have a year end. It's a calendar year for USDA that we have to do as well.
You know, that would be an excuse to me to say.
Although it's a little different,
somewhat coincide.
And it's a much different kind of report.
Is it?
Because it's about the entire fund and the three different grants that we got from USDA, and then the combined thing. It's much more of a numbers, and less about. I mean, they want the. Again, some of these stats on ethnicity and
demographics,
but. They're not interested in the business types, and I think that's much more relevant to what we're doing.
Well,
here.
I think it's much more telling for us here in Josephine County because it shows the diversity of the economy of the small businesses in our community. When we know full well that probably closer to 70% of the jobs in our community are self-employed or small business type of businesses, and when you see this diversity across the economy, to me that's really encouraging to know that you have that kind of diversity here, because when the economy ebbs and flows, the more diversity you have, the better off you're going to be.
That's right. Yeah. I agree.
Are the revolving loan funds made just in the unincorporated areas, or is it throughout the entire county?
Throughout the entire county.
Okay.
And actually, we have, because we acquired the Southern Oregon's Women's Access to Credit, which is a nonprofit that had a business venturing and training in small loan fund, but they, when they folded up about 07, I think, or 08, we absorbed, they transferred their portfolio, their funds to us. So we have about $45,000 that's actually available to Jackson County businesses. But otherwise, all our funds are specific to Josephine County.
Okay.
And there are some other developments. I mean, there's a potential that the City of Grants Pass may pretty much participate in a similar fashion to how the county has now with the revolving loan fund, and that will actually help the county funding, because then what we'll do is we'll transfer city loans to city residents, and that will come out of a separate pool of money. And then the money that the county's putting in would be applied to the rural and unincorporated areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all one big happy family. But
yeah, I didn't see that in here. We had talked about that the other day, and I didn't see where there was any provision specifically in the contract that made an allowance for that. And I don't know if we, since it's in the air.
I thought we... Well, I think that was one of the changes, was except for the current whole loan fund is for the whole county, except for funds that would be restricted to Grants Pass that would come in. And then going forward...
I think it's a great concept, but I don't believe it's in there.
Okay. Well, no, actually, it's in your funding. is restricted
to the county, to the not county. Necessarily. The Grants Pass is part of the county.
Right. Correct.
I guess so. That's
just no distinction.
Right. And if the city never comes through, that would be
right.
You wouldn't want to change that.
Way. Yeah,
exactly.
Correct. But
we
if the city does come through, then maybe we'll need to take a look at.
Right, and I don't know that. I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't know that that would have to be formally recognized.
Yeah,
it would just. It would be more how they're administering the law.
Policies and procedures.
And they just say there's going to be a requirement on the city money that you have to be a resident of the city of Grants Pass, or your business has to be within the city limit. So at that point, any opportunity would be, it would just make sense to utilize those funds.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so as long as that's on the table, I like that.
Okay.
The other thing, since we're talking, is if the way the contract's written right now is the county will provide the $25,000 per quarter, but I also want to, I guess if the city comes through with a significant contribution towards the loan fund, and we find that the activity in the county doesn't necessarily require as much money as we're obligating here, I guess I don't necessarily want to be obligated to pay a full amount if we're not going to be able to use that full amount. If you get what I'm saying, if we can't use the full amount to help the businesses in the rural county area, then we shouldn't necessarily just have money sitting there not being used.
Exactly.
So there, wondering if we can put in some provision that at least on a quarterly basis, as we look at the payments, that we do that, weigh that option. Do you really need that additional funding now, or should we just wait and take another look at it next quarter?
I think there is a provision in regards to annual reporting,
yes,
and quarterly reporting. So if you see at a reporting time that is a situation that's existing, then that would have to be addressed.
Amend the agreement.
Yeah, you have to amend the agreement. But what I'm thinking, if we try to put every eventuality, what's the percent and how long do you wait and all of those kinds of things, I think when we do an actual review, that maybe there should be a paragraph put in there that says, upon review, if there's a determination that the funds amount needs to be adjusted, then we can do it. And just have a simple one-liner type thing in there at the time of review.
You can almost read that in there, because it does say prior to second, third, fourth payment, grantee shall submit a request. So you might understand that to mean that you're requesting it. Doesn't mean since it doesn't specifically say that, I just want to make sure the expectations are there that we will take a look. It's not a bad thing. I mean, it will be in an account that's specific for the county, so it's not as if it's.
Yeah.
Well, and the only other thing I'll add into it, though, and again, just depending on the level that everybody wants to participate in this and how much activity we want to see, we currently, between the IBCDO and the SBDC, we're not even advertising this. And we're not even going out and just kind of putting out any kind of, hey, this is available or whatever. And we've already loaned $189,000 of $175,000 in about 8 or 9 months. So if all of a sudden we decided we had a few extra dollars to lend, I think all we'd have to do is just kind of gently put out a little PSA or something, and we could probably utilize the funds. But it makes sense to me that there should be, just on an annual basis, if not 6 month basis, whatever we're going to look at, just something where there, as you say, there's a request submitted and then it's evaluated and we decide what funding is needed. It may even become, depending on how things go down in the future, that there's more funds available and you want to increase the amount of funding that you're providing. So,
Well, that's something that we can always hope for, because if the it's the revenue that we start receiving from the state, but if we're receiving it from the state and we see that the program is, and of course by looking at this, and like you say, there's always more applications than you have money for, so,
right.
You know, if we find that the economy really starts booming and we need to put more money into it, it would be nice if we could say, yeah, you know, we can increase it. Yeah. And
yeah. I think the economic engine is Grants Pass, and, mm-hmm. and particularly if Grants Pass puts in a significant contribution, mm-hmm. then they're, you know,
well, that may or may not. I mean, as we look at that, there was, there's three in there that were Grants Pass.
The three of the that were in the city, but the rest were not.
Right.
Correct.
True.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in looking at that, you know, if the city participates in the program, those three would have come out of city funds and the rest mm-hmm. would have come out of
exactly.
county funds.
Right. And the three, well, the two that I mentioned, the media one would be a city, I think. They're very close. I'd have to look at where the city limits actually lie. But the other one is in out in Colonial Valley. So that's $25,000 that would be in the county. So I don't know. It's, we're still seeing a lot of activity mm-hmm. from a rural standpoint.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Well, if it's based, on the, you know, if the subsequent quarters are based on a request, then, you know, it leaves a certain amount of
discretion on,
to, on our part to say, like, you know what, really, we've had some early payoffs, you know, we don't have that many applications pending right now, you know, we might be good, again, knowing that there are other priorities in the county and in other ways.
Yeah. Okay. And there's no reason to just go park a bunch of money out there if we're not getting it into circulation, so that's definitely the objective. Mm-hmm.
There's no linear application rate. You're not getting two per month at $12,500.
No.
You might not get any for a month or two, and then all of a sudden you've got four.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Requesting $100,000, and you've only got 50.
Right.
So it's just...
Well, that was exactly the situation when we started this discussion, you know, almost 2 years mm-hmm. ago, was we were, you know, our 303 1/4 was pretty much fully subscribed, and it was just coming into spring, and we're looking at, like, I got, you know, 3, 4, 5 people starting to work up applications, you know. We're going to have to pick who to fund and then have to wait another 2 months until we get payments in. So we've taken care of that immediate kind of crunch.
Mm-hmm.
The reserves aren't a bad thing, and I think both have great points, Commissioner Walker's, about just revisiting it as the schedule mm-hmm. provides. We can make adjustments on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
It does say that this total payments on 5.4 to grantee under this agreement shall not exceed the amount of $100,000. There's a clause for applying for more dollars than what's outlined in the grant award under 5.1. Not even sure if that additional request for additional types of things. We have our own process for that. I don't know if it muddles up this whole deal.
Is that referring to, because I know when we discussed it one time last year or something, was it if someone came in for that needed more than $25,000, mm-hmm. that they could come and request that from us because their loan board only has in their documents a $25,000 authority, but anything additional. So is that what that's covering?
If
they could come to us for additional funds if they needed another $5,000 or $10,000 or something?
Yeah, there's a clause for
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, that's what that's covering.
Yeah, I think the intent there was that we would create those as almost standalone special project loans, and mm-hmm. they wouldn't get rolled into the pool, so to speak. And that what we were trying to do when we discussed this last year was give the county an option if you really felt there was a critical development need with a particular project or whatever, and you wanted to put that money out there and not have to go back to doing a grant approach, but be able to do a special loan
okay.
that would have separate approval at the Board of Commissioner level, that then the IBCDO loan board would agree to take that on as a separate loan. And that way they would still do the servicing and provide. We would still provide all the support and all that stuff, but it would be a separate.
In terms of the admin of it, the biggest issue is collateral, because with a micro lending, we don't take a position on real estate and property, so it's all vehicles, equipment, tools, sometimes inventory. when you start getting 50 to 100,000, well, you're kind of forced to involve real estate in some fashion. And so both with the city and the county, you have a mechanism much more better than ours would be to actually then have a position there.
That's good to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that way, for instance, if someone comes in and contacts Julie, you know, and wanting to expand a business, and but they're going to need $35,000 instead of $25,000, we could, because we don't want to be making, the whole idea here is we want our grant money to no longer be grant money. We want it to be loan money so it can be recycled so that more people can benefit. So if we can make a loan that provides, say they're going to provide 5 jobs, we could do that, but they'll service it for us with that additional money that we provide.
And the proviso on that is, and those decisions are best made by people who are experienced in that process.
And that's the whole reason for having somebody with a loan board.
That's right.
Because yeah. They can do those financial analysis.
Yes, that's my goal.
Yeah. Removes us from having to do that.
That leads me to the question of, these are the loan applications that were approved, maybe afterward or something, because you obviously don't have that list. What are the ones you didn't? I'd like to see some of those.
Well, so, you know what, we don't have applications turned down by the loan board. They just never get far enough because they don't get past us. We're not ready to recommend them.
So if once they're recommended, the loan board analyzes them to make sure that
they do their part and they do provide the oversight. But
we've had a pretty good track record so far, understanding what the loan board wants to see, and that's all the vetting that we're doing before we put the application together. And like Kenny says, it's been a while since we've submitted something that they weren't willing to approve, because everybody understands what the requirements are when we get to that point. So there's a lot of different eyes and a lot of different people looking at all these numbers before the loan ever gets
approved. That's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And coupled with that, your repayment, you're great as far as 90% of these loans are repaid on time.
So overall, through the whole life of the fund, the default rate's 3-point-something percent, and it's only affected 2-point-something percent of the money,
right,
in overall. And now, percentage-wise, it actually pay on time? Well, maybe only 60%. But that is really the strength of the program, is that ability to restructure.
That's also one of the reasons why they could never get a loan from a bank.
Sure.
Because there's so much hand-holding that they want to pull things through.
So that's well, that is
seasonal, like seasonal businesses. A lot of times they have a tough time in December and February or January, and sometimes we need to be able to look at what's going on and say, hey, they're going to be fine once we get to March or April.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could do interest only, or maybe we could just suspend payments for a couple months, and they stay in business and they complete the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just all kinds of stories like that.
Yeah.
Where we've just been able to have that flexibility, be patient with them, maintain a relationship with them as individuals, and we're able to maintain that really low default rate and complete the loans.
So, and I think that's more important than, you know, paying on time sometimes for small businesses, because, they can't, I mean, if they're in a seasonal business, they can't help it, you know. And so to work with them is a good thing.
The other thing that's really interesting is this whole arrangement with the county and funding this loan fund is really starting to get a lot of visibility throughout the state. I mean, it's really looked at as an innovative and very successful program. So we might have a few people calling us on the phone going, how do you guys do this?
Well, that's already, yes, that is actually starting to happen. And then in terms of expanding it regionally, actually, we've been in discussion with the Ford Family Foundation, because they also have a pool of money that's actually supposed to go into some kind of loan program, and they've been searching for a home for, which would then give us the ability to lend in Jackson County too. And we've had some people that have been like, well, I live right here. It might be like I'm 5 feet outside. And I go, well, we do have a little bit of rail to use, but just because of the original grant restrictions, mm-hmm. just similar to the same as with, you know, with the county's money. Mm-hmm. So,
does that bring up the issue of the contract being with the IBCDO? I mean, it just seems, I've talked to a couple of people about this issue of it being under the umbrella of the IBCDO. Well, it's in the Illinois Valley, I can't apply. Like, no, it's the entire Josephine County. Mm-hmm. And that was, for me, one of the most fundamental elements of having the SBDC, because there isn't that connotation anywhere that the SBDC isn't countywide.
Right.
They provide services to everybody. But there is that connotation that the IBCDO is really focused and probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
And the non-compete clause of the elements, you know, you've got $25,000 this month. You've got two applicants, one from Merlin and one from Cave Junction. Who's going to get the loan? Well, maybe if they make it through the gauntlet, it sounds like everybody is going to get the loan. But if times aren't as easy, and there is a, well, not this month, you'll have to wait till next month or whatever, it just seems like it would be, in my mind, cleaner under that SBDC umbrella. You guys do a great job of administering that. Mm-hmm. The loans application process. Who's behind the curtain doing the vetting?
But the only, and I absolutely, and you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
The thing is that from an SBDC standpoint, we can really only participate from an SBA charter standpoint, from a technical assistance standpoint. Mm. So we can't administer loans or handle money or do any of that. That's just unfortunately part of our charter.
Mm-hmm.
And really the key to this, and I hope everybody at some point is comfortable with it, is even though it's called the IBCDO, it is a community development organization that's focused on all of Josephine County, and that's the creation of it as a community development organization is to service, especially from a loan standpoint, all of Josephine County. And if we,
because if the IBCDO goes away, there'll still be the loan fund.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like a legacy fund, and it generates, you know, it generates its own capacity for the staffing and admin part. At this point, it's gotten to that point, and that's literally just due to the size of the fund. It's finally to a point where if the IBCDO, because of the change maybe with the contract, with the concessions at the Oregon Caves, that goes away, and some of the other things that have been really the bulk of the other half, say, of the organization, well, what's going to be left is the loan fund and maybe one or two smaller project funds.
My only concern is that the seven people in this room now understand that.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a couple dozen people in the county that understand that. I didn't understand that before this meeting, and I've been on this board for 5 years. So,
well, then don't tempt me to say anything else. because that's a marketing issue, it seems.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. I think now that there's a program in place, I think the marketing can take place that will overcome that.
Yeah.
And because as the word gets out, you know, these people that are using the program that say, hey, yeah, you know, I'm in Grants Pass and I got this program, or I'm in Williams and I got this program, or I'm in Merlin, you know, whatever.
Well, actually, that's one of the things you're talking about that we probably need to do. This is a kind of a tangible partnership success that people hunger for that is reflects well on everybody. And I think we should, you know, a couple of months of a little bit of concerted effort to kind of toot the horn about it.
Because
we've got a couple years of the county's money being involved, how that's paved the way for the city of Grants Pass to, you know, be seriously not just considering but implementing. And then in the offing, Ford Family Foundation, which operates all over Oregon, ready to kind of jump in.
Well, I think if the city comes through, that's going to be a public relations opportunity where that information will be put out too, because then the city is involved, and that expands, you know, people's right. thoughts of this loan program and say, well, city grants passed, Josephine County, gee, it's all over. No matter what the name of the place is, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think if we tie it a little bit even to the fact that we're currently in the whole effort to do a joint economic development strategy between the city and the county, the loan fund is definitely part of economic development, so mm-hmm. it's just another way to show how those partnerships are developing and how it's all contributing to mm-hmm. the growth of the county. So
we know when the city is looking to roll their loan program out?
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Well, I mean, they are basically looking at the agreement that you guys are putting together as a model for what they want to do.
Yeah. Everybody was looking, who's got the draft?
So what you're saying is we're a trailblazer here?
Yeah. So we've been sharing a little bit with the city.
Yeah, I was waiting to see what they were looking at.
Right.
They're actually looking at what you and I agreed on in our conversation was to set up the separate account.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same arrangement that they're looking at. So
yeah.
everybody's mm-hmm. going to be basically using the
And they
same
definitely
model.
Want to go to that larger loan amount for some special projects.
Sure.
I mean, mm-hmm. that's they're not holding that back, really back too far. That's really...
Well, they can afford to do so.
I guess all this, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, the key to it here is, the one thing I do want to emphasize a little bit is the fact that let's just call it the revolving loan fund. The fact that it has a great track record, it's nonprofit, it has all kinds of flexibility that a normal bank wouldn't have, that is the piece you don't want to break. There isn't any other place to go in the county to be able to have a functional set of rules and policies that are in place and have been proven
the test of time.
My whole thing always when I have a conversation with Kenny is, whatever we're going to do as this thing grows, we don't want to break it. That's the one thing we just mm-hmm. want to be careful mm-hmm. about. Because that's really the key to the success of this thing, is to keep its collateral, its policies, its flexibility, its the cap, mm-hmm. its all of this stuff has come together to create a model that's functional. So we just want to be careful that we don't start expanding into areas that we may have to do very carefully so that we can make sure that we're not getting outside of the capacity of the model as it exists today. So mm-hmm. that's what I think the key to this program, though, is the loan board and the fact that we've got a good model in place.
Okay, two questions.
Sure.
Do you require the applicant to go through a business planning process so they understand the aspects of running the business to help guarantee their success?
Some are more formal than others in terms of business planning, depending on what the project is. You know, it's just like I'm going to buy one piece of equipment, you know, or I'm going to get a certification or something. Other ones, especially on the startups or more complicated ones, yeah, we definitely. And that's where it's the SBDC. So it doesn't all just fall on me and, you know, our more limited staff at the CDO. Because
sure.
in the past, yeah, I mean, if we did seven to ten loans a year, you know, that was a pretty busy year. Mm-hmm. And originally, the cap was $10,000. And it was only in 2008 that we raised it to $25,000.
So what
we'll
do...
get another question, though.
Just to expand on that a little bit, like Kenny says, even if someone's going to just buy a piece of equipment, at a minimum, what we're doing is looking at their financial performance and where their records are and what's going on, looking at their P&L, looking at their balance sheet, looking at what we're going to do from a collateral standpoint. But, you know, I mean, if there's a good example on here, I'm just going to buy a water truck for $5,000 or $10,000. That doesn't really require a complete business plan assessment. You want to start a restaurant, you're looking at buying like a really large piece of equipment that's going to be a very significant impact on the business. Then we need to look at, okay, what's your marketing plan? How are you going to be able to increase capacity? What's the impact on your cash flow going to be? All that stuff. The same sort of stuff that Arlene would be doing with clients over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to the ones like the women-owned and maybe certain ethnic loans, mm-hmm. Do you require them to try and secure a grant first so we can leverage the dollars further, or is that not part of the process?
Well, which grants programs would you be thinking of? I have a known business, or I'm a minority. It's in our grant program. Well, if you're doing government contracting, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But for small business, there really aren't through the grant funders that I work with. There's not.
Even
though there's so much literature that
government.
Makes it seem like there's a lot of money out there for that, and it's like, well, I hate to throw the cold water on you, but maybe there is, but I don't know where to go get it for you.
Well, I know there's not a lot, but like for some of the minority groups, such as women, for example, there are some out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm just wondering if it sounds like that's not part of the process, can our money be used to leverage for a larger loan for them somewhere else?
And that can be some of these businesses who may come to us and they go like, well, we're really trying to raise 75,000 or 80,000. We know you can only give us 25, but that would get us, that helps us with our next applications as we're looking around either for private funding or crowdsource funding or like that.
In fact, we were involved with a package basically of loans that was involved with the hall. The hall went out and did some Kickstart. They did their own Kickstart campaign and raised, net probably around $10,000-$12,000 out of that program, plus the money they got from the IBCBO, and then there was some private investment money that they had access to.
And it was actually a bank.
So a lot of times it ends up being a combination of different loan sources. Although the one strength of this that I really find is really good is the IBCDO doesn't have some policy that says that they can only participate up to 70% of the loan package or something, which then means every time somebody wants to borrow money from the IBCDO, they have to go get 30% of it from somewhere else. So it's a real strength of the program that the IBCDO can be the sole lender for a lot of these opportunities. It just makes the complexity of it and the access to the money a lot easier for the people that are looking for a loan.
And the reason I ask is, we had talked earlier about, do we really want a large pot of money sitting there? And I would say yes, because then we can offer it to a company that could employ 5 people versus 2 people, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So just questions I had, I guess, to make sure that...
Well, I'm happy to have you at the table and someone else to be working on, because some of this thing is... And, you look at how to prioritize stuff. Well... Is it just, because you got in the door queued up first? Or, is there some other community or social capital involved in terms of synergy and in certain areas? And because you look at actually, some of our documents have sections that are really from the very beginning in 2001 and 2002, and it was really focused on, because the initial grant from rural development was just for the zip codes of the Illinois Valley, the first 75 or 80,000. So, and it was job creation first, and these kinds of businesses. Well, and that's just been expanded as the fund has grown and the mission has grown, and so I think it's really about looking at where are the most impactful opportunities, because that's where the loan board will say like, well, if we're looking at having to pick 2 short-term winners and putting somebody on a back burner for a while before we can fund them, they're going to come up, they're going to use that kind of criteria in their decision-making too.
Sure. It's just like when we're talking about, spending grants pass dollars and grants pass and saving the county dollars for the unincorporated, I look at it and say, well, maybe the grants pass dollars should go to grants pass first, and then after that money's used up, then the grants pass could also tap into the unincorporated dollars, because of course, any job created in grant pass is benefiting the entire community.
Yeah, and I think that the contract, as I've read, is flexible enough to do that. So, for instance, like the restaurant, you need, a certain amount of capital to get started, and 25 isn't enough for almost getting almost anything started. But if the city is willing to put money in, and if it's something we're willing to put money into in a small loan, then that might be something we want to do. And it may not be a restaurant. I'm just saying that, but it could be anything. It could be, small parts manufacturing for electronics
you know, toy or something. It could be anything. But sure. I think I think the contract is sufficiently written that we could do that because we're not restricting it, and I don't think we want to restrict it. I know the city by law would probably of necessity have to make that statement in theirs because they get it for the city. But we get ours for the county, which includes the city. So, you know, I think we probably have a little more flexibility in ours maybe than they do. But I don't know that for sure. I don't know how the lottery contract reads for them. But
well, in the strength of the reporting, I think it's just the communication. And, I mean, because that's why we are the asset we are, is because we have that flexibility to really meet the needs where it is, expect there to be, you know, input and, you know, queries and input from, you know, from this board and subsequent boards, so that
and you can't like actually, you can't
is,
actually
what
predict
needs to be a focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't actually predict what those cases are going to be that come in. You don't know what all of it's going to be. So, okay. Yeah.
But again, just like Dennis said, I think the program to date has already been very successful, and I think it's a great partnership, and it's good to see you guys being able to get that money out there and getting it in people's hands where they can create jobs and create wealth and, you know, have a better quality of life. So
I think it's a great asset because when you look at other counties, there's not many incentives or tools that they can offer businesses to get them to come to their area or even expand within their boundaries. So it puts us a little notch up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good thing. So, yeah, thank you. Anything else?
No, this has really satisfied all of my concerns and the issues that I had. I think if I did have one that remains, it's the traded sector element. I did the math, 189,056,215 is what we've allocated to traded sector. Really, for me, that's what's building the economy, and we're not trading dollars, and that's always what I would say should be the focus. There isn't anything in the agreement that specifies the traded sector is the priority for funding, but that's a real major concern for me. The loan element makes it so much better that we're not just granting funds. And at that point, I'm not sure if it's a loan. I don't know if I really care if it's a traded sector or if it's a general retail locally. As long as we're meeting all of the requests, if we have to choose, you know, traded sectors where I'd like to come down on, but if we're, you know, not having to, if we have reserves that are still there, then loan it out.
So just another one of those kind of evaluation criteria and looking at what the impact of A versus B if we get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think, too, by looking at this, you know, there's nine on here and three of them, one-third, are traded sector, and I think that's a pretty good ratio in regards to looking at small loans.
I'd like to see it the other way around.
Well, it's just in reality. The reality of
you're not in control of that.
You're not in control of who applies.
Everybody who comes through the door is an applicant.
Well, right, and in many cases, you know, it's the traded sector. I mean, they're the ones that they're looking for that 75, 150.
That was the point I was going to make. They're looking for 100,000.
And we'd be happy to be 25 of that right now, but we know we can't. So until we get to a provision where we're going to look at those larger deals.
And a lot of times what we're doing with traded sectors now is, you know, maybe they just, with their debt-to-equity ratio or whatever, and they're in a high-growth situation, and so the banks want to back off until they pay some of the loan off, but they need a little bit of working capital. They're a healthy company, but all of a sudden they haven't become bank-attractive because of a prior, you know, loan that they've taken on for growth or new equipment or something like that. So a lot of times what we're doing is filling that need to give them some working capital or a small investment to look into a new market opportunity or something like that. So that's what's really driving
it. It kind of came to mind about the smaller types of loans and something Arthur said is 90% of the economy or whatever is coming out of grants passed. I'm not so sure that's 100% accurate for where it starts. If you look at Fire Mountain Gem and Krauss Craft and some of our largest employers in the county, they didn't start in grants passed. Started in the Illinois Valley.
Right.
And Home Valley Bank was out there. Wild River started out there. The list is long for places, people that started in smaller, the Merlin area or Williams or someplace else. When they get to that larger area, then they come to Grants Pass. Then they get the $100,000 loan style. You know,
Dutch Brothers came out of North High School, right? Yeah.
They need someplace to start, start in the money to do it small.
Well, and our concept with this, and we've all talked about this, and I know this is kind of like we all understand it. I still think there's a strength in growing your own traded sector businesses. They stay in the area, or they have a much higher tendency to stay in the area if this is where they got started. There's a real advantage to that, to not have the somebody moves in, or gee, all of a sudden they're just portable and they don't really have any ties to the area. We can move anywhere we want to.
That's huge for a consideration for moving technology-based businesses here. Because if they didn't start here and they move here, they can move someplace else like that.
Yep.
And I was talking with my brother-in-law who worked for Tesla. He's worked for Apple, and now he works for Google. They'd love to move his program up here. 28 employees that are developing the unmanned car for Tesla. At the same time, Elon Musk decides, I want to be in New Mexico. He moves into New Mexico tomorrow and pays for everybody, new houses, the whole nine yards. The portability of those are great, but it's also a huge liability.
Yeah. Right.
28 jobs that pay $150,000, $200,000 a year just up and vanishes from your local economy.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And I can go, just in my own head, and just, in fact, we've got a video that we developed that we'll probably let you guys see in a public meeting forum probably in July. Just in that one alone, I'm just name off the top of my head, businesses that got started here that are now at the level of being traded sector, up to 50 employees. And that's just in the last, 7 years that I've been involved with the SBDC. And we've helped them through that whole process. And they're very successful now. And they don't want to go anywhere else. I mean, they grew up here. Mm-hmm. They developed their company here. Yeah. And they want to stay here. And I agree with Simon. That's a big thing, is to have those kind of resources that you can depend on. And they're not going to have that portability aspect.
Mm-hmm. Might there be many more like that?
And not just the ones we've worked with. I've seen the process, and we've been involved with it, and it has been a successful strategy.
All right. Okay, anything else before we conclude here? And I think we had one addition to that proposed contract. Did you write that down about the sentence about the annual review regarding the amount, or did we decide that would be?
I thought the fiscal annual review is fine.
The Hispanic reviews. Okay, so there's no changes then.
Good, and it looked like you have what you needed in here, as long as you understand that between us was good.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, then I like you pointed out, Arthur. It says it's a request.
Mm-hmm.
So just that word alone.
It's not a set obligation. It's a request for that amount. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's well structured.
Okay. Then I will talk. Are you going to talk to legal, or you want me to talk to legal about moving this forward?
Oh, yeah, I can talk
you
to legal.
You talk to them? Okay. All right.
Because they want to have this.
Okay.
I didn't have any objection to moving this forward to the weekly business session. Mm-hmm. This week, the agenda is 100% set. The agreement, I just read through it again. Solid.
So you want to go ahead on the weekly business session. Everybody agree to that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, we have consensus. We can move it to the
Okay.
We can just move it to WDS. Okay, anything else?
Well, let's see. We know we're coming around to the new fiscal year, and so we know, is this the appropriate time, or you want to wait on our annual presentation?
You want to just have these through Arthur and just kind of do the normal channel?
For me, that would be fine.
Great.
Annual report, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, the annual request for...
The annual request, I'm sorry, I said report, I meant request, start our word.
For the 16-17, it's your word, okay.
Yeah.
And so our word is just to submit those request to Arthur and have it go through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the only thing would be there is if you have any questions about that or wanted to ask us beforehand other than that, we're done.
Okay. Good. Anything you have to ask?
No.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much improved process than what has been going on before we started.
Okay, it is 3:55 and we are adjourned.